Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, June the 8th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and of course our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. And of course, the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with archiving all of our previous programs. We're live weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. The lineup for today's show includes a lead-off interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Then we'll talk with the Buckmaster Show border contributor Keith Rosenblum about the recent Arizona-Mexico Commission meetings up in Phoenix. At the bottom of the hour, another newsmaker interview, the mayor of the town of Marana, Ed Honing, will join us, and we'll close out the show with a conversation with the owner of a place, real interesting place, called Ancient Radio. They've got the old vinyl records for you, and they've got quite a selection. Kind of interesting. The Buckmaster Show is interview-driven, but we always encourage you to join in the conversation with our guests. If you have a question or a comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you're outside of the Tucson area, 1-866-725-5467. Well, the Pima County Supervisors yesterday voted to start the process of selling off the county's 149-bed nursing home known as Posada near Grant and Craycroft. It is the only skilled nursing facility in southern Arizona that's able to provide services to ventilator-dependent patients. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Richard Elias. Supervisor Elias represents the county's 5th supervisorial district. Supervisor Elias, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Good afternoon to you, and congratulations. It's first time on your new program. Pleased and proud to be here, and good afternoon to everyone in Southern Arizona.
We are delighted to have you. You had some questions about the Posada deal.
It's a very unfortunate situation. Business models have changed dramatically in how the state of Arizona goes about funding Access and Altex, which are the main providers to people who were in fact being housed there at Posada del Sol and remain there. We're concerned that, number one, whoever purchases Posada del Sol continues to provide medical services to that same group of patients that are there. Some of them, in fact, cannot be moved because of the situation that they're in related to their health. So we said to our folks at the county when they were putting together that bid package, make sure we include the fact that whoever purchases Posada del Sol also realizes that they have to continue providing health care to those folks that are there who are, frankly, indigent and
these are folks who don't have a lot of options left in their life.
Very often they don't have family or friends either.
Yeah.
The other big issue for us was, of course, employees and making sure that whoever bought the place offers a job to employees who want to work there and can pass a background check on them, a simple procedure. But I think that we're going to have some interest in it, and hopefully people will continue to be served there at Posada del Sol.
790-2040, if you would like to join in on the conversation with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. And, of course, the supervisors have a tentative budget on the table, $1.3 billion for next year. There were some concerns on this budget, and I know that lots of your constituents come up to you and say, why did the county get such bad treatment up at the legislature? And at least one lawmaker, I believe, was at that supervisor budget session, Representative
right.
Vic Williams.
Well, you know, I think Vic has some ulterior motives, but all of that set aside, the truth is that we were treated unfairly by the state. We were asked to make cash payments of about $8 million to them, and we have lost revenue of about $20 million. The truth is that about $90 million of the county budget is actually spent on providing state services. We're partners. We're a ward politic of the state, and yet we were treated worse than the neighbor kid down the street that nobody liked. That's really terrible. We're supposed to be partners.
You wouldn't know it, by the way things came down.
Well, we weren't informed of some of the actions that were set to be taken. The action regarding our employees and reducing the amount paid into their pension was made in the middle of the night and never discussed by anybody as a writer onto – as an amendment writer onto a bill. That's the kind of action that leads one to believe that you're not being treated fairly and that ultimately the folks up there were unwilling to raise taxes themselves, so they passed that duty on to the rest of us to pay their bills. That's not good politics. That's not good government policy. I don't think that's really in line with conservative thinking. I haven't heard most conservatives saying that somebody else should pay their bills. In fact, they usually say the opposite. But the state legislature saw fit to ultimately lay a lot of bills on the counties, particularly Maricopa County and Pima County, and make laws that were particularly onerous in terms of local control.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's talk a little bit about the legislation that came out of Phoenix concerning Marana and the Pima County Sewage Treatment Plant that is located in the town of Marana. In a few minutes here at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Mayor Ed Honing on the program talking about why he feels it's important for Marana to have that plant. But Pima County sees it differently and is taking legal action to keep that treatment plant in the hands of the county.
Well, we are, and we will continue to. And it's unfortunate because we've already run in court once. And instead, the state legislature chose to slink around in the background again with their buddies from Marana and create a law that basically preempted what the courts had said was legal and just. Again, that gives one the impression that you're not being treated fairly. Really, it's about regionalism for us. And regionalism means that everybody sets aside a certain amount of power within their jurisdiction to act as a region in our best interests. What is more important to this region than our natural resources? And first on that list is water. So when you talk about water, you have to talk about the full compendium of water, which is surface water, groundwater, effluent, raw sewage. This is clearly an attempt to maintain power, maintain their ability to grow in the manner that they want without regard to the rest of the region's well-being, without regards to their own taxpayers, without regards to the fact that the rest of us paid for that sewage plant in Marana. I think it's horrible that someone can come in and say, this is mine and my friends at the legislature are going to make it so that it is mine.
It's 12:14. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster with Pima County Supervisor Richard Leas. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. And we also want to mention that the Rosemont situation, this is an issue that Supervisor Leas at the Pima County Board of Supervisors has come out against the proposed Rosemont copper mine. But as you know, the U.S. Forest Service says, in a way, it looks like their hands are tied, that they must go ahead and approve this at least preliminarily because it goes back to, what is it, the 1872 mining law.
Correct. And this is a draft environmental impact statement. There will be another draft after this, and then the final will be issued by the end of the year. So I would encourage people to comment during the public comment period. It is important that we do that. But really, that EIS says that we are going to have some horrible impacts. Cultural resources that are sacred to the Tohono O'odham people will be destroyed. That's in violation of the Antiquities Act that we've had on the books here in the United States for more than 100 years. We have water pollution. We have air pollution. We have tons of rock, waste rock being dumped onto the national forest. But everything's okay because the Forest Service is completely unable to say no at this particular time. It's important that we read this draft document and recognize how much we have to lose if the Rosemont Mine is allowed to be built.
And we hope to have Ned Norris Jr., as you know, he's the chair of the Tohono O'odham Nation, on the program here in the coming week or so. They've got some real concerns about some of these historic properties and the remains of Native Americans in that property.
Well, as I said, here in the United States, we've had the Antiquity Act on the books in order to protect those places and people's burials from crazy kind of plans like what we have with the Rosemont Mine. It's very sad. It represents how little we ultimately respect our Native peoples and those folks who settled this land before us.
And I believe we have caller Chuck is on the line, and Chuck would like to comment on the Rosemont Mine situation with Supervisor Elias. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, Supervisor Elias. Now that you've stated all your objections to Rosemont Mine, you never talk about the people that would be working there, making a good living, and providing an economic stimulus to this county. Why do you overlook that?
I think those jobs are important, Chuck. I understand that. But the damage that's going to be done by the Rosemont Mine will be forever. Those jobs are temporary. We need to look at the long hauls here in southern Arizona. Again, taking a look at the importance of our natural resources and cultural resources that will be destroyed forever. We have a fiduciary responsibility, I think, as people in office, as well as residents, to protect this place and be good stewards of the land and what we have to offer here. In the meantime, I think we do need to create jobs. I understand it's important. I'm not opposed to mining, but Rosemont is the wrong place for that mine to be built.
It's 12:16, and thank you, Chuck, for that question about the economic opportunities that Rosemont would provide. But I believe, Supervisor Elias, you say you're really looking at the long term on this.
I think it's important that we all do.
Quickly on the redistricting, any big changes? Your district being impacted at all, District 5 with the new supervisorial districts?
We actually are down in population about 7,000 from the other districts. So we are going to see some slight changes to our maps with District 5 taking on some new precincts in some new areas. And I think that'll be good for us. And I have a lot of faith in the committee that's been put together for redistricting. They're meeting again this afternoon. It'll be their second meeting, or actually their third meeting. And we look forward to that map coming out and ultimately being reviewed by the public and approved by the Board of Supervisors.
And the minority voters make up about 63% in District 5. I think you have the largest minority representation in your supervisor district.
Actually, that is correct. And, of course, all the redistricting that we do will need to be reviewed by the Justice Department to make sure that we maintain and protect the rights of minority voters here in Pima County.
Okay, Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias being a guest on the Buckmaster Show. We appreciate you coming over here from downtown and being with us, talking a little bit about what's going on in the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you and good luck.
Thank you very much, Richard Elias. Keith Rosenblum is next. We're going to be talking about the border. He covers the border for us on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service, with 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastropub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Governor Brewer and the governor of Sonora held a couple of days of talks up in Phoenix late last week as the Arizona-Mexico Commission convened in the capital city. With us to talk about the meeting and some other things concerning the border, Keith Rosenblum, Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Keith is a former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic, former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. He's the founder of a website called MexLink, M-E-X-Link. Keith, good to see you.
Hi, Bill.
What's going on with the governor's relationship with the governor of Sonora, who we hope to have here within the next month or so?
You are going to have him, and I'll
make that pledge right now to the Buckmaster Show listeners that it is a done deal. So are the relations a little bit better post SB 1070?
They've always been they're always warm up front. This has never been anything personal. And the 3 days of meetings at the Wigwam Resort in Phoenix, that was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, were one big effusive self-congratulatory love fest between Governor Brewer, Governor Padres of Sonora. He's in his second year right now. And quite a showing. You had probably, I think, 300 from each side. There were 15 committees, everything from art and culture, sports, economics, security. It was a lot of fun to see everybody in one place. And afterwards, the press conference, both governors just nominated one another for canonization, practically. It was actually something to watch. Governor Padres is an English speaker, and so it actually opens new areas where people who traditionally might not understand him can actually hear a Mexican governor in his own language. What was important about the meeting was that it took place, because you'll recall there was the boycott because of SB 1070, and those were all official things. Had it been up to Governor Padres, he probably wouldn't have boycotted it. There's nothing to be gained from a boycott, but when he announced it, it was done in conjunction with President Calderon from the same party, don't forget that, telling him pretty much we've got to do whatever we can to protest this state's kind of renegade status and wanting to usurp federal law on this one issue.
Were they talking about, I assume, talking about Mexico being a place that still is encouraging tourists? Tourism came up, I'm sure.
Yeah, really. It's important to remember that states can't do anything anyway, so that's what makes this such a social gathering. The power of states, treaties are left to federal government, and so the only time actually anything can be signed that's binding is between our Secretary of State and the Secretario de Relaciones Exteriores, the equivalent of Mexico, the foreign minister. So these are about looking at local issues, looking at border crossings, looking at tourism issues, both ways, by the way. Our Secretary of Tourism from Arizona was there. Mr. Tapia, Javier Tapia, was there representing the tourism people in Sonora. And so you touch on the gamut of issues. Secretary Munro was there. He's the Secretary of Security, like the DPS for the state of Sonora, and he was there to assure everybody that Sonora is such a safe state. But for the Mexicans to draw any kind of distinction between what's happening in Sonora versus what's happening in Baja or Chihuahua or Torreon doesn't really make any sense, because if you're trafficking in people and trafficking in narcotics, you're not looking at state lines anyway. You're looking at where your best place to enter is, and if it happens to be in Sonora or it happens to be in Tamaulipas, you just choose the least path of resistance.
What do you think of the front page piece in the Arizona Daily Star Sunday about concern that the border may be an attractive place for terrorists to cross?
I thought the story was a waste of time, and I was surprised that the Star went with it. It was a story basically about not to worry. This is not an issue. So I would guess that that means that today we could discuss, in the time available to us, we could discuss how Bill Buckmaster is not a pyromaniac. Bill Buckmaster is not an arsonist or whatever. Yeah. It struck me as being a really forced 1A story. I don't know why they did it. It was a story about what is not happening right now. And I think that the terrorism issue, because it always has a kind of a current peg, any medium can bring it up any day and have some people read. I was surprised at what a mediocre piece it was.
And Puerto Penasco continues to surface, whether or not it's safe. We've talked about this in the past. You're a firm advocate that Mexico is safe, by and large, for Americans to travel.
Once again, the chances of anything happening, on a given day, anyone of any skin color, the chances of anything happening to them traveling to Mexico are about the chances of a meteor hitting them on their heads in their homes in Tucson. As having been having done the same kind of mediocre story that we're referring to in the Star on Sunday, what happens is we're xenophobic. These stories every so often there's a ghoulish murder somewhere, and that serves to frighten to death 99% of Americans.
Keith Rosenblum is talking with us. He covers the border for us here on the Buckmaster Show. And did you ever write any of those stories when you worked at the Star or the Republic?
Yeah, it's remarkable to me how sometimes what little creativity comes from the city desk. In other words, you'd be assigned, someone would call city editor, assistant city editor would come around and say, hey, Keith, go write about this issue. And you would say, hey, you know, this is a really cliche thing. We've read all that we could ever read about in the AP or the Republic or whatever. Why are we doing it? And the answer is, well, there's a dearth of stuff to go with, and we need to have something local on 1A. And a good investigative piece takes manpower. That piece was put together, cobbled together in 2 or 3 days. There's nothing really original about it. To me, run wire on on 1A on a Sunday and save some good local reporting, which the Star does, but have it the next week or the week after, put people to work.
Only got about 30 seconds or so, Keith. Wymas looking now, some of the cruise ships deciding to stop there?
Yeah, actually, the cruise ships have stopped going to other places in the south. It's very good news for Wymas. They give them, I'm not sure how big of a deal it is. You got a lot of people over 70 who have 12 hours to run around the port. I guess in the world of good news coming in small doses, I would put that up top.
So that will take the place of Matsalan and some of the other ports?
I don't think it'll replace. I think that as we figure out what to do.
Is this an add-on port?
It's an add-on, you bet. And I think also that what's more important isn't just the tourism part, but the cruise ships, but also Guaymas, the port itself. The port has been modernized, and I think that's going to be the next big step in trade to the southwestern United States and central United States. Lots of container business and lots of new business that nobody had counted on just a few years ago.
Okay, Keith, and we will hold you to that. We'll have the governor.
We'll get you, Governor Padres,
on this Buckmaster Show hopefully within 30 days. Thanks a lot, Keith.
My pleasure.
All right. Stay with us. The Buckmaster Show, 12:30 coming up. We've got the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey. He's next.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. For the first time this year, the economy has been slowing in several U.S. regions. A Fed survey says 4 of the 12 Fed bank regions suffered slower growth in April and May compared with earlier this year. The nation's merchants have won a round in their long-running battle with banks. The Senate's voted to allow the Federal Reserve to limit the fees that stores pay banks each time a shopper uses a debit card. Amid a big increase in NATO airstrikes, Libya's Muammar Gaddafi is responding with renewed shelling of the western city of Misrata. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 42 points, the NASDAQ off 28, and the S&P 500 Index is trading 6 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
A
simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Told you I can't make it split. Jim, can you record the
podcast? 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we are on KVOI 1030 on your AM dial, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. 790-2040 if you would like to join in our upcoming conversation with the mayor of Marana, Ed Honing. The Marana Town Council recently adopted, Mayor, a tentative budget of nearly $127 million, with plans to approve that final version, I guess, coming up June 21st. The 2012 budget is down more than $43 million from 2011, so I think that's about 25%. That's a pretty big reduction.
A lot of those reductions, Bill, are capital expenditures. Most budgets are set up on operating expenses, your general fund budget, which ours is about $30 million, down from $40 million 2 years ago. The other funds that are in the budget are capital expenditures like Twin Peaks Interchange or the new Silverbell Crossroads Park that are multi-million dollar operations but have federal, state, RTA, and other funds coming in. So you have to set your budget to have the capacity to spend revenues for projects if they're coming in.
So you really had to. These are not items that necessarily, this reduction is not going, the people that live in Marana probably won't notice this difference.
We made a decision a couple years ago when we started balancing our budget, and I will tell you, we have a strategically balanced budget with no new taxes. Is we would maintain safety, which is police, Parks and Recreation, which is a place that individuals from seniors to small children can go for free and recreate, and public roadways, filling our potholes, maintaining the taking the graffiti off, and keeping our streets in good working order. And those are the three things we protected, and everything else was optional.
And voters recently approved overwhelmingly the town plan. What's that all about?
Town general plan, state government requires you to update your general plan every 10 years and put it out to the voters. And basically what that is an all-encompassing plan of your entire municipality and even your sphere of influence outside your municipality. And what the general zonings are, where streets and roads will go or public amenities will go. And we're very open with our general plan. We talk to homeowners groups and different civic and social organizations, and we've never had any problems passing our general plan.
Let's talk about the wastewater treatment plant in Marana. It's a small plant at the northern edge of the county with its 1,500 sewer connections. But it really is a battle here shaping up between the town of Marana and Pima County, because it is the Pima County wastewater treatment plant. But there was legislation passed and the governor signed, which basically gave control of the plant to the town of Marana. And Supervisor Elias, who was with us at the top of the program, says this is just really a power grab on the part of you and the other officials in Marana.
It's not a power grab at all. Marana is a very pro-business community. And what we had to do with water, the state law requires you to put a gallon back in the aquifer for every gallon you take out for cities and towns. And that, a lot of times, replenishing the water is a lot more expensive than actually pumping potable water. We need the effluent that is created by Marana households so that we can treat and recharge that water to keep our potable water costs down. And it's also a growth inhibitor if you don't control sewer, because someone else has the right to tell you yes or no on what you can build in your community.
So basically, from what I'm hearing, if Marana did not have control, you think it really could stymie growth, future growth in the town of Marana?
We've had 19 projects over the last year and a half that have either been stopped or stymied by Pima County.
And Pima County now is taking legal action against you and the town over this fight. Where do you think that's going to go?
Well, they're fighting with the state now. We had a contract with Pima County on wastewater, which they drew up, which stated very clearly that if we gave them 6 months' notice, they would relinquish the sewer in the town of Marana. There are certain caveats there that you have to pay debt that's outstanding on any of the facilities and things of that nature. When we gave the county that notice, they've refused to honor the contract that they wrote. And that's when we filed the lawsuit.
And why do you think then the county, what's the county's motive for doing this as far as you're concerned?
Power.
So you're saying it's power.
It's power and control growth. If the county controls your wastewater, they control all of your growth.
We're talking with the mayor of Marana. Ed Honing is with us, 790-2040, if you have a question for the mayor. You and your colleagues on the town council got together with the town council in Oro Valley looking at perhaps some joint projects concerning tourism.
We have a great working relationship with Oro Valley. Mayor Heiermath and I have become very good friends, and our councils interact very well together. We realize that the hospitality industry pours millions of dollars into our region and provides thousands of jobs and tremendous successes for us. They have the Sheraton El Conquistador. We have the Ritz-Carlton. There are about 15 or 18 other smaller hotels and motels involved. And we want to work together to draw people to the Northwest sector as a destiny and not as a second thought. We want this to be the destination. And if people come into our region and stay in our resorts or our hotels, they're going to spend money at our restaurants or clothing stores, which in turn will help provide services for our people.
I think the term that was used, the town councils want to break out of a Tucson mentality to establish their own identities.
Well, that's true. I love the city of Tucson. I'm a native here. I was born in St. Mary's Hospital. I love Tucson. But we want to be a place to where business is more easily accomplished and eliminate a lot of the bureaucratic red tape and move their structures through more quickly, because time is money to a businessman.
Are you noticing the economy is coming back in your area?
Our sales tax is up a little bit this year. Nothing to brag about, but at least it's not continuing to go down. I believe we are in a U-shaped economy, and we're starting to trickle up a little bit. It has not allowed us to really go out and do a bunch of extra things, but it has allowed us to pick up extra expenses within the community that would have been a real problem.
I had one more item on my agenda, and hopefully you can address this real quickly, about Marana may allow temporary signs in the public right away to increase visibility for businesses.
We are still debating that. I'm not a big fan, personally, of sandwich signs. We've had that problem before and did away with it. But we realize that small business is the very backbone of our region, and a lot of places have difficulty bringing in people to keep their establishments open. And we're trying to come up with more visibility through signage on the major roadways that will allow some of the businesses in our community to succeed through these very rough times.
Would they have to pay a fee if they put a sign out front?
Absolutely.
So there'd be some kind of a fee set. If you want to put one of these signs out, you're going to have to pay
for
it.
There would be a fee. There would be parameters. It, of course, has to be safe. It can't be right on a sidewalk or block vision of an interchange. But it would give them more visibility, and it would be a temporary, probably 6-month deal. You know, trial yep. method.
Okay, Mayor Ed Honey, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. We'll have you on again and look forward to it.
Thank you, Bill. Nice being here.
Thank you very much. Stay with us. This is the Buckmaster Show at 12:44.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa! Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge!
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Well, 48 on the Buckmaster Show. Next, Buckmaster Show arts and culture contributor Dr. Mark Sublett, the owner of Tucson's Medicine Man Gallery, talks with Jeff Bursey, owner of Ancient Radio, a shop specializing in new and used vinyl records.
Hi, today I'm with Jeff Bursey, and Jeff owns a very interesting store, and I think it's actually one of the most unique stores that in Tucson. In fact, you might think it's probably one of those stores that you would see in L.A. or New York, and it's called Ancient Radios. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you. Maybe you can tell us about this cool store you have.
It's nice to be with you, Mark. Thank you. It's a it's called Ancient Radio, and there are two of us, Jörg Malshagen and I. We run a vinyl-only record shop.
So vinyl's like the old-time, what we just call records, right?
33 and a third RPM and 45 and some 78. And we primarily specialize in you know, jazz, avant-garde jazz, ethnographic music from around the world, punk rock, you know, some obscure rock and roll such as Kosmische and Krautrock, which is German, rock and roll essentially. And a lot of experimental, so it's very fun, you know.
Is there anything like that? I mean, I don't mean just in Tucson. I know there's nothing like that in Tucson, but, you know, even in big cities, to go from punk rock all the way to ethnographic, that seems kind of amazing to me.
Well, you know, Jörg and I see connections with all this material. When music's good, it's good. And, you know, it's really, truly a unique place because we actually did it more as a sculpture, more as a place for the community to come gather and share ideas and to see what happened through this space.
Like a performance art almost with a retail bent to it.
You got it. So hopefully it supports itself. And people are responding really wonderfully, you know, more than we could have imagined. It's people from other parts of the country are calling in and wonderful records are coming in, wonderful conversations are happening, lots of musicians coming through. So
when you find a record or vinyl, I guess vinyl is the correct term now. Is that what you, or do you just interchangeable?
That's what we like. That's what we hipsters like to call it.
Is vinyl or record? I guess I'm not a hipster.
You look like one, Mark.
Yeah, my son would tell you I'm not that. So when you find when somebody comes in with their old records or quote unquote vinyls, you will take a look at them and tell them what they're worth and maybe what if you want to buy them or they can consign them?
Sure. What we do is we're a very small place, so we really specialize, and what we carry is the music we truly love, and anything in the shop we would want to hear at any given time. Mm. So people do bring in old records and we peruse them, take a look at condition, you know, essentially what it is, and if we think that it's something we'd have in our own home and we'd like to share it with others, it's really of interest to us. And you know, the store is based on the values, the real values of these records.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we pay accordingly. It's
excellent.
We also trade vinyl, and it's just so much fun seeing many, many records come through.
Yeah, so if I brought in my, let's say, you know, Bessie record from the 30s, obviously that'd be a really valuable piece, but it's more valuable too if it has the original sleeve, correct? And and maybe sometimes they're signed and those kind of things as well. Those are all things you would take into consideration, I'm assuming, right?
These are all factors, you know, condition of the record. You're probably speaking of Bessie Smith, you know, which more than likely would be on 78,
right?
Or an old compilation of those 78s. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the type of thing we do truly love. So we are interested in perpetuating the object of music, you know, and the conversations and the actual flipping over of the record, getting up and turning it over, and turning it up louder, you know, the group activity of it, even in the shop, you know, people are constantly, I'd like to hear this, well, let's throw it on, you know, let's turn it up. But when people do lug those records in, those 45, 78s, it's a sense of discovery for all of us.
Sure, yeah. And then you must sit there and play them and before you can ever decide if you want it. I mean, obviously you can look at it and go, yeah, this may be something we want. Then you put it on the record player, and if it's in good condition, then it has X value. And if it goes, maybe not X minus 4 factor.
Right, especially if it's something we've never heard, you know, and read about or somebody's told us about, we throw it on almost immediately.
Yeah, and what do you do if you get something that's very cool, it seems old, And how do you price something like that? Are there databases for those kind of things?
Yes, there are various ways to seek the values of these. You know, obviously eBay and the computer is a great source. And there are many books written on these. And there are many variations on variables to all of these records and all of these pieces of music. So it does take a little research. Sometimes it's best if people are willing to leave the records for a day or two. And we'll go through, and often we'll clean them and really take a look. And
now, so what kind of hours do you have at the store? This is down on 4th Avenue?
Right. We are down there Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 4 to 11-ish.
Oh, very nice.
Generally, we stay open later because there are people hanging around. You know?
Right.
We'd like to, our sculpture operates anytime. It's an appointment as well, so.
And now you also have an art component, correct? You do artwork yourself, correct?
Yes, we have a space. It's essentially one building split into a nice old adobe. And rather than renting one side of it, we just decided to rent both for the piece. And next door will be performances, live performances, gallery shows, gatherings. We'd like to have dinners where we talk about music, talk about whatever, salons, things of that nature. Argue about things,
right? And now, but what kind of art do you do, Jeff?
I do essentially how to describe this quickly? Film, paintings, music. It's like an environmental piece,
a collage of all the senses, basically.
Essentially, yeah. It's an experience.
Interesting. Now, the other component you were saying to me briefly that you hope will evolve is also art books, correct?
With yes.
Different kinds of art books. So if people are interested and maybe have some interesting art books, is it too soon for them to bring things in or not?
Never too soon.
Cool.
In order to get the space open, we determined a date, which was probably far too soon for how ready we were.
Right, and when? What date was it? How long have you been open now?
That was the 18th of last month.
Yeah, so brand new. So you heard it here today on this show that it just now opened.
Yep, and it was. That's how we had to do it. We had to determine a date because we kept perfecting this and making that much more appealing. So we opened, and the art book aspect of it has lagged behind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting that going, and there'll be art books and modern art books from around the world. Very interesting.
What about, because I would think it would just kind of be natural that people will want to bring in old record players or phonographs. Do you guys do those too?
Sure, we do that as well. We like to keep the possibility of someone who hasn't had a record player for a while to come in and pick one up. So we have a small selection of
so they
of
can equipment. Buy. They
yeah.
can buy a record player?
Sure.
Excellent.
Sure.
Now, are they all old record players, or can you get one that's being made now?
They're pretty contemporary. We're kind of staying away from the vintage stereo equipment because that's another world.
Right.
Completely.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
It's
yeah,
from
yours
Mars.
Is. Yeah. Left brain, your right brain.
Yeah.
And now you also have a very interesting website that I was perusing earlier, which is called ancientradios.com, correct?
Right. That's our Facebook page. And yeah, we try to keep up with that. That is Jorg's department. And I am somewhat of a Luddite still.
Yes.
And yeah, that's available on Facebook, Ancient Radio.
Okay.
And we try to update, what's going on, and thank the many people that are coming in, and let them know what's happening next. And
how about cafe food? That seems like a natural. Is it on the way?
We're down on just off of 4th Avenue, so it's everywhere already, and you don't want to eat my cooking.
Right? Yeah, I believe this. I do believe this. Well, anything else that you would like to share with us just about what's going on with you and this new project?
Well, it's exciting. There was a person came in and bought, on opening day, bought, I think, 6 or 8 records and hadn't had a turntable in 20 years, but was so excited by this and kept asking questions about his old favorite things. And I was like, yeah, we've got one of those, and you might want to try this. And the exchange was, we were laughing most of the time and just reminiscing. And that is the connection, because you know, obviously in this day of eBay and the internet, we could have done this online, but it was our decision to make something in our community, make a sculpture, make it happening in our community where people could come and enjoy the exchange, the space.
Cool. And the final thing, just for so you don't end up with 1,000 Beatle records, are there certain areas that you're really not interested in buying from sense of the vinyls?
Well, you know, you'd never know, because in with all those Beatles and Neil Young and Bob Dylan records, there's always that one 1971 Popovu record from Germany that I've personally
been looking
for. I
don't have that one, actually. I have Beatles, lots of those, but no, yeah, I don't have the Popovu. Okay. Pretty sure. Well, it's been a pleasure having you, and it's Jeff Bursey, and it's Radio Ancient Radios on 4th Avenue. What's the exact address?
It's actually just behind, you know, like just off of 4th on 7th, and we don't have a sign. So what we have is some an open gate, and there are records nailed to the wall. So that's how you find us.
All right. You've got it here. Look for the open gate with the records on the wall. All right. This is Mark Sublett for the Bill Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Mark.
Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, a leadoff interview with Congressman Raul Grijalva, and we'll also hear from Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Richard Fimbres, and our Trio CEO interview series continues with Fletcher McCusker. That's tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much for joining us on KVOI, The Voice. Have a great day.
1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.